And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Roy Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's a beautiful Saturday. I think the low temperature driving in this morning was like 75 degrees. Of course, when I got to town, it's closer to 80 degrees. This week, a lady came to see me, and she was telling me that she showed me her lab work. And it wasn't that long ago that her lab work was probably in the total cholesterol was probably averaging somewhere in the 160s. And just because I don't remember the exact number, whether it was 162 or 167 or 169, wouldn't you say all those numbers are relatively close? So statistically speaking, I don't know if it's really a tremendous difference if your total cholesterol is 182 or 178 or 175. That's all pretty much close enough. I mean, wouldn't you say it's a huge difference to have your total cholesterol at 587 versus 168? Anyway, but see, the point that I thought was interesting was, even though her total cholesterol was at 162 or 167, whatever her number is, forgive me for not remembering, she made the point, she said, yes, but my doctor wants it even lower. And of course, me, I said, well, why? Anyway, all we could come up with is the doctor wanted that number lower. That was all we could come up with. Okay, story number two. This was on Thursday, I don't know, about 11 a.m. A buddy of mine was talking with me in my office, and he was, and I'm just going to make this general and vague here. He was saying that a friend of ours, he's a physician, I'm not going to say he's a cardiologist because that would probably pinpoint who we're talking about, so I didn't say that. But one of one of the physician's jobs is to go around the country and extol the virtues of cholesterol-lowering drugs or statins. And my buddy made the comment. He said, "You know, he's got to really believe in those." And I said, "Well, but we asked. I wonder if he's read studies that might have opposing research or might be a bit counter or contrary to what he's saying." So he goes around the country. He's probably paid quite well, as you probably imagined, to extol the virtues of statin drugs to physicians. I don't know if he actually does this to patients, but anyway. So what I thought I would do is I thought I would give you just a little bit of research here. And, of course, to me, I find this very, very interesting. And what I want you to do is I just want you to come to the table with a clean spoon, keep an open mind. I mean, you don't have to be so biased like I am. Of course I'm biased. I'm extremely biased. I'm not into damaging people and killing them. So whatever we can do to greatly enhance your health and improve your situation, now that's fine. But what if a remedy, a treatment, a drug was recommended that may cause more problems than good? Anyway, just keep an open mind. So we kind of asked this question, my buddy and I. We said, well, what do you do when somebody's extolling something that's not completely true? Well, I won't tell you what we said, but you're smart. You can kind of figure this out. All right. This article comes from Why Statins Don't Help by Sarah Semperman. Okay, Wellbeing Journal. Anyway, here goes. Millions of people in the United States take statin medications to lower cholesterol and to prevent heart disease. Some think that statins are a wonder drug, like the doctor I was just referring to, while others wonder whether the benefits outweigh the risk. With research studies uncovering questionable gain and serious side effects, critical concerns are justified. A thorough understanding of the way the statins work helps explain why they may not be the key to healthier hearts and longer lives after all. And you probably are asking me, what do they actually do? Well, they lower cholesterol. How do they do that? Well, statins block the activity of an enzyme called the HMG coenzyme A reductase enzyme, which is an essential element in the synthesis of cholesterol. That means you got to have that enzyme in order to make cholesterol. So what do? Well, they give a drug that inhibits its enzyme and it just basically prevents the body from producing cholesterol, thus lowering levels of cholesterol in the bloodstream. You know what? You may not have heard that cholesterol actually has any important aspects. I think I've mentioned this on the radio about, what, 50 times over the last 20-plus years, that mother's breast milk is hugely filled with cholesterol. It's almost as if that was God's plan for a rapidly growing child's brain. So you tell me, kids that are deprived of cholesterol, it's just no competition. Well, it's not a competition, but because the prize is very, very high. But I can tell you right now, you want to have a brilliant child, you better give them cholesterol. It's called mama's breast milk. Cholesterol has several important functions in the body, and we can't live without it. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but you cannot live without it. Some of the individuals that have come to see me, they've made brilliant observations. In a hospital setting, when cholesterol goes below 90, well, that's usually when they're in hospice. Kind of hard to recover. And, you know, when I see cholesterol that low, I think this person's trying, you know, about to give it up. Cholesterol has several important functions in the body, and we just cannot live without it. It acts as an antioxidant. It also acts as a repair molecule. It's an essential component of all cell membranes. Cholesterol is what your body uses to make sex hormones, including estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Without cholesterol, how could your adrenal glands produce the hormones that they need to keep your body in great working order? Remember, your body is supposed to adapt to every situation, whether it's mental stress, emotional stress, physical stress, work stress. If you don't adapt, you die. So you need cholesterol. Going back to the adrenal glands, one of the things that it does also, it keeps your blood volume where it should be. So without cholesterol, this is when you stand up and you feel just a little bit lightheaded or swimmy-headed. You almost want to put your hand on the wall or on a chair or on the table or hold on to the bedpost just a little bit longer and you go, oh, now I can move. It takes about 2 or 3 seconds. See, those are all signs that the adrenal glands may not be doing your job, and they require cholesterol to do that. Cholesterol is also used for your body to make bile. Did you know what bile does? It aids in digestion. With bile, you can assimilate dietary fats, and you can make vitamin D, and that increases the absorption of calcium. Which bile also helps build strong bones and strengthens the immune system. And it provides protection against hypertension. You ever heard that before? Autoimmune diseases? Cancer? Cholesterol also accounts for approximately half the dry weight of the brain, where it plays a most critical, vital role in insulating all the neurons and allowing cells to communicate. When the body doesn't make enough cholesterol, neurological problems can arise. Not surprisingly, side effects of statin drugs include cognitive impairment, memory loss, mental confusion, difficulty concentrating. Who would have thought but insomnia can be a side effect of taking a statin drug? You can have personality changes, depression, anxiety, irritability, and violent behavior. All because you're blocking the ability of the body to produce cholesterol and thus heal itself. It's as simple as that. Statins also inhibit the synthesis of coenzyme Q10, which is an antioxidant and essential cofactor in the production of energy inside the cells. And because heart cells have such a large energy requirement, they contain the highest concentration of coenzyme Q10 in the body. So deficiencies can weaken the heart and compromise cardiovascular function. The deficiency of coenzyme Q10 caused by statins can start soon after treatment begins. Here's one study. A study at Columbia University found that after only 14 days of treatment with atorvastatin, which is Lipitor. You ever heard of Lipitor? Coenzyme Q10 levels were reduced by 49%. So are there any consequences of that? Well, you betcha. Once coenzyme Q10 is lacking, heart problems can quickly follow, even in people who have no history of cardiovascular disease. A study published in the American Journal of Cardiology followed healthy adults with mildly elevated levels of cholesterol. After only 6 months of taking low-dose Lipitor, not moderate and not high-dose, just low-dose, 71% of the participants developed early heart muscle dysfunction. So there it is. It was actually damaging the very organ that is touted to save. Some side effects of statins are related to the loss of coenzyme Q10 in the muscles and a reduced capacity for energy production. These include fatigue, shortness of breath, problems with mobility and balance. You know, folks, that's not going to go real well if you stand up and you fall over or you lose your balance. What's the number one predictor of someone having a fractured hip or a leg or, you know, breaking a bone? Well, it's losing your balance and falling. Muscle pain, weakness, and atrophy. If I had a nickel for every time a patient was sitting in front of me and said to me, "Dr. Morgan, ever since I started taking these statin drugs, my legs ache, they hurt. I told my doctor about it and he says the same." They all say the same thing. I've never heard of that happening before. I've never had a patient. I think that I'm a pragmatic person. And I think that I live in reality. And I'd be the first to admit I'm a human being just like you are, with all the potential to make mistakes and all the potential to say the wrong things and maybe not do things exactly the right way. But you know what? Most people are pretty understanding. We're human beings. If we make an error or mistake or we see a problem, won't you kind of own up to it? I mean, couldn't they just say, "Well, I'm just real sorry you had a bad side effect. Maybe we shouldn't use this." Because obviously it's pretty devastating when your legs hurt all the time and you have no strength in your legs and you hurt and you're constantly fatigued and you can't sleep at night. Maybe it's not worth giving you the statin drugs. Wouldn't that be easy to do? Now, of course, I'm saying that, but what if that's not the narrative that you choose to tell people? I don't know. It says severe reactions can lead to a condition called rhabdomyolysis, a syndrome resulting from the breakdown of skeletal muscle that is sometimes fatal. Sometimes fatal. Which one of your relatives do you want that to happen to? I'm really not trying to make a joke, but none. The answer is none. There's nobody that you love that you go to church with, you know, your church family. You don't have any relatives, your blood family. What if you have relatives you're related to by marriage or through marriage? You don't want them to die. What about people that have treated you very badly? Well, you don't want them to die either. But I'm telling you, folks, this stuff is real. Sometimes I think to myself, how bad does this have to get before physicians stop prescribing statin drugs? Okay. I could keep going. There's just like the highest correlation to development of Parkinson's disease and heart failure and high blood pressure, all because of statins. I'm trying to think of, actually have had one patient that I know for a fact that we could prove actually benefit from a statin, and in 27 years I have not. But I've heard stories, and I believe them. If you're the type of individual that when you have your total cholesterol measured, it's like 686, which is just like the highest number of all time, according to average, yeah, you might be the rare person that actually needs a statin drug. But that doesn't mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater. It may be other things that you have to focus on. Okay, you with me on that? Okay. Number two. This comes from a world-renowned heart surgeon. His name is Dwight Lundell, MD. When a world-renowned heart surgeon condemns the long-held idea that cholesterol causes heart disease, this is a heart surgeon now, and he points to the real cause of this epidemic, you sort of sit up and take notice, don't you? What is the number one cause of death in America? Heart disease.
Do we agree on that? Okay. And I mean everything that sort of goes along with it. It doesn't have to be technically just one coronary artery failing you. It can be a host of different things. You could have clogged carotid arteries. You could have a cerebral infarction because of plaque and a clot, and well, just anything that goes along with the cardiovascular system. You know what I mean. After more than 5,000 open heart surgeries over 25 years, Dwight Lundell, MD, has realized the egregious error he and his colleagues have made in asserting what actually causes heart disease. Until recently, the only accepted therapy was prescribing medications to lower cholesterol. That would be statins, right? That's what we just talked about. And then they put you on a diet that severely restricts fat intake. Here's what Lundell says, and I'm going to quote him. These recommendations are no longer scientifically or morally defensible. The discoverer a few years ago that inflammation in the arterial wall is a real cause of heart disease is slowly leading to a paradigm shift in how heart disease and other chronic ailments will be treated. The biggest culprits of chronic inflammation are simple. Are you ready? This is your punchline. If you want to write something down, you're going, okay, I can't wait, Dr. Morgan. What is the cause of inflammation that affects the lining of the arteries and causes heart disease? All right, here they are. Highly processed carbohydrates. That would be called sugar and flour. Number two, excess intake of omega-6 vegetable oils, such as soybean oil, corn, sunflower, that are found in processed foods. Do you know what I'm talking about? You do. Instead, what do? Choose a complex carbohydrate such as a colorful fruit or vegetable and eat meat for protein. Even though it doesn't say it, I will. You want your meat to be full of fat because fat does not increase insulin levels. You want to have heart disease? Once you eat a lot of white flour and white sugar, you'll get there. You may get there faster than other people because people have genetic weaknesses and they also have strengths. And if you don't sit up and take notice when you have family members that have diabetes and have heart disease and cancer, I don't know what it would take to get your attention. What, do you live in a fantasy world? You think you're just immune from those things? No. If you tell me your grandparents both had dementia, and your father and your mother have dementia, wouldn't you start to question, well, maybe there's a weakness somewhere? And I'm just using that as my example. I understand. I talk to people all the time. I would say that the vast majority of all people are very, very intelligent, and they understand analogies, and they understand different ways, but there's some people that don't understand analogies, so if you don't, I'll try to keep them to a minimum. He says instead you choose complex carbohydrates such as fruit and vegetables, and you eat meat for protein. What he wants everyone to do is cut down on inflammation-causing omega-6 fatty acids and increase good fats. Chronic inflammation and poor health are reversible with proper changes in diet. Actually, what I would suggest is it's your attitude. Thought precedes action, right? All right. How about we go on to number two right here? All right. All right, this is a, where'd I get this adapted from? Okay, here's the article. Saturated fat finally vindicated in a long-buried study by Joe Mercola, D.O. Way to go, Dr. Mercola. Okay. The prevailing recommendation for the last few decades has been to avoid saturated fats in order to reduce our chances of coronary disease. If you don't know what a saturated fat is, when you go to the grocery store and you see packaged a T-bone steak and it has this thin whitish layer or ring of fat around it or running through it, that would be a saturated fat, something that has a form at room temperature. So you know how eggs get the blame for everything? It's because they have saturated fat in them. Even if the chickens are fed omega-3 fatty acids, eggs still have a tremendous abundance of saturated fat. And so when you cook them, what is that yolk in the middle? That's a lot of fat. I can't even tell you the number of people that I desperately try to talk out of eating all-white omelets or all-white eggs. You know, I mean, whites only. You know what I meant. Where they toss the yolk. Are you kidding me? The yolk is where all the nutrition is. Whew. Okay. All right. Recommendations for the last few decades has been to avoid saturated fats in order to reduce our chances of coronary heart disease. We have been told that saturated fats raise LDL cholesterol, clogging the arteries and putting us at an increased risk for heart disease. The 2015 United States Department of Agriculture Dietary Guidelines will still advise us limiting saturated fat to a maximum of 10% of daily calories, warning of such dangers. Okay, is that true? Now this paradigm is undergoing a polar shift. Research, including the Oslo study, 1968, and the Los Angeles Veterans study in 1969, as well as the 2015 meta-analysis published in the British Medical Journal, you probably remember this from last year, they found no association between high levels of saturated fat in the diet and heart disease. Well, what is emerging from these studies is that replacing saturated fats with vegetable and corn oils, it doesn't have any benefit whatsoever on clogged arteries, heart attacks, and mortality. Switching to such diets, to such a diet, does not improve health, and in fact, it can even make it worse. So if you think cutting out saturated fat from your diet and replacing it with corn oil, you're going to be disappointed, folks. Some of these studies show that the more total cholesterol was lowered, the greater the risk of death. Oh, those studies have been around for a long time. And when is the last time you had a physician tell you that? We know that omega-3 to omega-6 ratios in the standard American diet are far out of balance, which leads to a variety of health problems. Vegetable and corn oils are high in omega-6 fats, and excess amounts cannot be used for fuel. When heated for cooking, vegetable oils tend to oxidize. That means they rust. Okay? Once consumed, they are highly susceptible to oxidative damage in the body. Now, a different way of thinking this would be, if you put rotten, rancid, oxidized oils in your body, what's it going to do? It's going to deplete all your antioxidants in an effort to quench those free radicals. In short, vegetable oils do not reduce the risk of dying from heart disease and their overuse. And saturated fats do not increase the risk of dying from heart disease. Moreover, reducing cholesterol is not necessarily a sign of improved health. It may actually increase or raise the risk of death. I think that's been proven. The fear of a healthy dietary fat is also part of why we're currently struggling with obesity. Because when you have a fear of fat, everything that's low fat, you can just bet your bottom dollar it's very high in sugar. Or simple carbohydrates that quickly convert into sugar. Okay, so that's creating the problem right there. Anyway, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open. I'll take phone calls now. I'll be glad to. 903-586-5257, and I'll get you right in. Thanks. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I'm a blessed man. You got time for a little testimony?
Yeah, you betcha.
Well, I've seen you a few times, and I've called in on the radio several times, and probably 20 years ago, they put me on statins, and I had an appointment with a doctor one day, and I was building fence by myself. I was stringing barbed wire and a lot of pretty fast walking and then a lot of pretty slow movement. Anyway, I was probably walking a minimum of 5 miles a day, and I'd been on these statins for a few months, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the doctor that afternoon, right straight out of the field, and he says, well, you're holding water in your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a long story a whole lot shorter. I finally chased it down after a couple of years to statins, and so immediately quit them. Anyway, I just keep having things pop up here and there. I'm in pretty decent health. I'm in pretty decent shape. But I just got in the mail a few days ago my workup on the, from a lipid profile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, my cholesterol in the eyes of the doctors have been too high since I was in my early 30s. And I was just dumbfounded when I got this this lipid profile report, because my cholesterols are all in line.
Really?
Except for my HDL. It's right up there. It's at 55, which is the highest point that this thing gives, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the only thing I can attribute this to is I've quit sugar.
See, I knew the punchline was coming.
Yeah, it just takes a while to get there. I quit sugar. I eat very, very little complex carbohydrates. If I do eat a complex carbohydrate, it's usually in the form of a baked potato, and I don't do that very often.
Well, what you're really referring to is simple carbohydrates.
You're saying
you don't eat. I know what you mean, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like last night, I had for supper, I had a leftover prime rib steak, and I sliced it up and made myself a prime rib sandwich.
Now, I need to know exactly where your home address is. This is just for my own personal notes.
Well,
I'm taking right here.
It'd be too far north for.
Well, this said.
It'd be gone time you got it.
Well, this said prime rib. Was it actually worth eating? I need to know that. Was there any value to it?
Yeah, but anyway, I had it on this sprouted wheat bread that I get from the granary. So there's no complex carbohydrates in there. But what I really think is the big motivator for this turnaround is when I was having abdominal pains, I went and seen you, and I did a lot of different things. Talked to the gal in Colorado, and anyway, I finally started. I was taking olive oil and lemon with a little bit of water in it,
just to get it down.
Well,
or to help it go down.
Yeah, but you know the pains. I kept having the pain, so I started eliminating things. I eliminated the slow niacin that I was taking to help keep the cholesterol in check, and I thought, well, I'm going to eliminate the lemon too. So I just take extra virgin olive oil and water.
Mm-hmm.
I think the extra virgin olive oil has done the very best for me.
Well, that's good feedback. Excellent.
And another thing I noticed was I've got this exercise machine. It's called a CS2 and Cardio Strider. And I get on there quite as often as I should, but fairly regular. And instead of taking 10 minutes for me to cool down, and get my heart rate down where it should be, I can do it. I cool down in 2 or 3 minutes now.
So you're telling me your physical fitness and your performance have improved?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Way to go, man.
But, you know, God tells us in the Bible to be good. We're asked to be good stewards of with the things God has given us. And he give us our bodies first.
What do you think would have happened to Naaman, the general that had leprosy, had he not dipped in the River Jordan 7 times?
He would have died of leprosy.
What would have happened to King Hezekiah had he not obeyed and applied the fig poultice to his boils?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there is a responsibility, and you're choosing to be responsible for your body and take good care of it. Way to go.
This cholesterol thing, years ago, I was sitting in my aunt's kitchen, and she just came home from the doctor, and I said, well, what did the doctor say? Oh, he says I got to start taking cholesterol pills. And I says, well, did you get them? She says, no. She says, I told him I didn't give a hoot and a holler about my cholesterol. And
how old was she at the time?
Oh, she was probably 70-ish.
Okay.
She's only 94 now.
You know that
She still don't care about her cholesterol.
That may be an important point. I really haven't researched that, but 24 years beyond the anyway, that's interesting. I mean, doesn't that really impress you though? She's 94. Give or take a few months. Can I ask you a question? Would you say she's mentally sharp?
Yeah, I just come back from a family reunion. She's not as mobile as she used to be. They brought her in the wheelchair, but she's really sharp.
If I'm not mistaken, 55% of all people age 94 have significant dementia, but she does not, right?
Oh, no.
And that just goes to show that when God designed high levels of cholesterol in mother's breast milk, well, maybe cholesterol serves a good purpose, like building the baby's brain so it can grow and develop. So maybe even as we age, at the age of 94, we need cholesterol to keep the brain in good working order. At least, I believe that.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you think that she would have made it to 94 if she had taken the statins like was recommended?
Probably not.
Well, I know that's a very negative thing to say, and I don't really mean that, but I seriously doubt it because I see these stories all the time.
I'm quite sure if I'd have stayed on them statins, I would have been in poor health a long time ago. I've seen people that withered away on them statins and taking all the medicines that the doctors give them, and were considerably younger than what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just thought I'd ring your bell a little bit and tell you that I just think that we are called to be good stewards of our bodies and not just feed our addictions to sugars and Dairy Queen and pasta. You know, we just got to.
Well, you're coming
to show some restraint.
But you're coming to terms with reality. You either decide to take care of yourself, or you decide to look the other way and not really pay attention to what you do. So, way to go. Good job, man. I'm proud of you. Keep up the good work.
Right.
And thank you very much for your phone call.
Day.
Oh, you too. Thanks a bunch. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line once again open. It can be all yours. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Absolutely. I am curious about eczema and atopic dermatitis. Are they the same thing?
No.
Okay. Triggers. A friend of
well,
mine...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Her son has eczema really bad.
How old is he?
about 7, 8.
Okay.
They're working on getting natural and all, getting back to the earth, just everything that you're talking about. They're trying to cut things out, but as life goes, lemons used sometimes make lemonade. But they're trying to go all natural, so they're working on the soaps that are free of everything, the food, all of that, anyway.
But you realize that people use soaps all the time that aren't, quote, the natural form, and they don't have eczema at all.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Sorry, it's my job to be very difficult. Go ahead.
Yes. No, you're fine. I was just curious because I told her about your program, and she said, oh, she hadn't heard, so... I don't know.
Well, can I tell you just a real quick story from yesterday?
Absolutely.
A woman calls me, and she lives a ways away, and she said, I'd like to make an appointment. I said, is this for you and your daughter? And she says, no, my daughter doesn't need to come. But when she first came, it's because the young girl had pretty bad eczema.
Uh-huh.
To the point of cracked, split, bleeding skin. And so she was just saying she was perfectly fine. Now, I can tell you, in this young lady's, and I'm just going to make it sound very simple, her main issue was her trigger. See, eczema is an autoimmune reaction.
Okay.
That means the conditions are just right for your body to attack itself. Now, there's a lot of debate about why it would choose the elbow or inside the elbow or behind the knee versus the hands or the chest or the armpit. But either way, we know it does, right? So the 7-year-old boy, where does the eczema manifest? Is it the hands?
Mostly legs.
Legs. Where on the legs?
Back is where he's out.
You mean like
now.
Behind the fold of the knees?
Yes, all up and down the leg from the ankle to the knee.
See, and that really, I can tell you where my mind goes. Even if this is a bizarre statement, you can take it however you want, but I always think if it's on the legs and behind the knees, we've got to look at the lower part of the colon.
Okay.
I almost think that that's what his body's telling me right now. It's screaming, take a look at the lower intestines. But that would be where my starting place is. So let me give you 2 or 3 ideas.
Okay.
There has to be some type of a trigger or great source of inflammation. And we know with eczema, there's going to be very high levels of a compound called tumor necrosis factor alpha. That's one of the hallmarks of eczema. And when that becomes elevated, you start seeing autoimmune issues. Now, is somebody going to die from eczema? No. But it sure is annoying.
Yeah.
If it were, how would I like it if it were me and I said, what if my wife said, Roy, how'd you sleep last night? And I said, oh, it was just lovely. I woke up every 30 minutes scratching. I feel like, I can't find a comfortable position. All I want to do is claw and gouge my skin. I mean, that would be miserable. I mean, have you ever seen eczema before where a person's basically covered in bloody scabs? Because just the itching is just horrific. Anyway, so we know that high levels of tumor necrosis factor alpha, what would be the 2 most common reasons why that would be high? Actually, I'm going to cover 3. Number 1, if an individual, and this is, I'm not trying to make this complex, I just want it to be simple, but you ask me whatever questions you want after I say it, but I'm going to discover every single time there's going to be a food allergy. And I'm just using that real loose. I'm not trying to make it like a written in the stone tablets on Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. So I'm not trying to do that. So I'm looking for what would be a reason why their immune system is constantly over-releasing tumor necrosis factor alpha. Well, the 2 most common reasons would be, and this is all supported by scientific literature. Any physician that wants can look this up and read it anytime they want to. They can come to the same conclusion or not. But it's a food allergy or a chronic low-grade infection, whether that's a low-grade yeast infection or a toxic form of bacteria, or a parasite. That's what I see over and over when it comes to eczema. Dermatitis is different. I've got some pretty wicked pictures in my dermatology textbooks at the office showing how somebody can have that by coming in contact with a chemical, which is kind of what you were sort of going toward with what kind of soap can we give the child that won't make matters worse?
Right.
Because you don't want to add insult to injury, or put salt on a wound.
Right.
So, Good job. How can I help?
Okay. That's great. I told her to get in touch with you. I will tell her again. Now, then, my daughter, when she was six, she's almost 32 now, but when she was about six...
Does she still live at home with you?
No, she doesn't. She's a little, but we're closer now. But she had stuff between her fingers and her elbows, and she was itching, and she slept with me at that time because we were just starting out. And anyway, I told the nurse to look at it, and she told me that she had scabies, and I said, "What's scabies?" She said, "It's a bug." I said, "It's contagious," and she said, "Well, yes," and I said, "It's not scabies because I don't have it."
Wow, good point. I like your logic. Good.
Thank you. Took her. She said, "Well, she can't come back to school until you've taken her to the doctor."
Well, how'd she prove it was scabies, though?
She didn't.
All right. Just an opinion, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
The doctor said she didn't have scabies. She has atopic dermatitis, and she told me how to fix it. You know, watch the soaps. Don't wash your hands out in public. At that time, this was back in the early 90s. Don't wash your hands out in public because all of the soap is real.
That almost sounds funny back in the 90s. Now she's in her 30s.
Yes, exactly.
Just like yesterday, right?
Right. But she has pretty much overcome it. I think she still takes precautions on some things. Mm-hmm. But my question to this is, do you outgrow this atopic dermatitis?
Well, I'm going to give you a different take on this. All right. I started to make this pop quiz hour, but we're not going to do that. Because just because I think everybody's...
I wasn't prepared.
You mean you didn't study all night long for the pop quiz?
I didn't.
All right. One
I
is,
tried.
Well, I'm going to help you with the quiz because I'm that type of teacher. I want you to score 100 on the test.
Okay.
And actually, I want you to score 100 in life, which means you do things right and you get the benefits from them. But anyway, what I was going to say is, what is the number one predictor that tells us who's going to develop a severe allergy to milk or dairy products? Well, it's based on the number of good beneficial microbes that live in the gut. So let's just say that a person has only 30% beneficial flora living in their gut, and the remaining 70% it's all evil and toxic and bad germs. That's the number one predictor of a dairy allergy. Which means those that have... If the dominant species of beneficial microbes that live in the gut and on the skin are all good, you're not going to get atopic dermatitis, and you're certainly not going to get eczema. Okay? What is question number two? Do you know what celiac disease is?
A little bit, yes.
Well, that's an autoimmune disease also, but I would call that you better avoid wheat and gluten and gliadin. You just better avoid it like the plague because that's bad news.
Okay.
So what is the number one predictor on who's going to develop celiac disease? Well, lo and behold, it has to do with the amount of beneficial flora that live inside of them. So I'm starting to think that maybe beneficial microbes have a little bit to do with eczema and atopic dermatitis also.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's any research that points that out. Let me think for a second. Why, lo and behold, there is. And, you know, I can't quote all of it perfectly because I don't have the references in front of me, but I know one thing. I'm pretty good at looking this stuff up because it's fun. I mean, I'm not a piano instructor.
Right.
So I couldn't teach you a thing about playing the piano. I listen to little girls and boys whack on keys all day long, but that doesn't mean I know anything about it. Wait, did you know the one song that I can sing is I Drop My Dolly in the Dirt? That's it. I'm talented. Anyway, but this stuff, I love research. I think that we've got an awesome potential here. So with atopic dermatitis and eczema, what would be one of the most common treatments? Steroids. And steroid creams. But I asked myself, is that actually fixing the problem? Does that do anything to restore gut flora? No. Does it do anything to control a food allergy? No. But those were by far and away the two most common reasons. Number three is just a weak, sluggish digestive tract. Because at the end of the day, your gut is supposed to remove excess tumor necrosis factor alpha, which shuts all that stuff off. It just turns it off. So those would be the top three. There's probably other ones also, but I really think this can be relatively easy. But that's what the woman told me yesterday. She said, my daughter is doing wonderfully. She's perfect. But then again, the daughter required a certain amount of discipline, and I actually think that she's a young girl. But because of her mother's insistence that she follow a protocol, she didn't like it that I had her avoid milk. But she did it. And now her hands are just perfectly clear and clean. No more cracked, bloody skin.
Awesome.
So if there's a person that's listening, and they have cracked, bloody skin on their hands, that's a gut and autoimmune issue. Sometimes I think it's because chemotherapy might be coming out after the fact. But anyway, what else can I help you with?
That's it.
You know one thing that I would probably tell your daughter to do?
What's that?
There's a type of salve. It's made from a plantain. And a plantain looks like a big honking banana, if you ask me. Or a banana on steroids. I mean, they're just big.
Right.
I guess if you went to Costa Rica for lunch today, they might have a plantain on the menu. But it's called plantain golden seal salve. I'm telling you, that stuff is phenomenal for dermatitis.
Okay.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to be having the outbreaks. So she does have, or seems to have, a cat allergy. She's allergic to cats. But
well, okay, multiple choice question number three. And it's just going to have to be because the floor in you have 10 bacteria in your body for every cell that makes up your body. If you don't have the right balance, you're going to have allergies and autoimmune reactions and asthma, reactions to cat dander, you name it.
Right.
Are you a cat person?
I have a couple of cats. I'm really more of a dog person, but my animals stay outside.
Well, see, I would say that I'm both. I like both dogs and cats. Last Saturday, after I did the radio show, my wife said, look at what Gus has. Gus is a cat. Said, look at what he's got in the backyard. And he had a huge rat. I mean, this was not a small rat. It was a big one. But, you know, Gus is a monster. His paws are so meaty. They're as big as my hands.
Right.
I think he could be part Siberian tiger. But, I mean, I don't have any proof. Oh, he's just playing with it. He catches rats there's not a week that goes by that he didn't catch something. He is a death machine to rats. Sorry, did I just waste your time?
No, you didn't. I've got two, and they're pretty good hunters. I don't feed them that much. I make them, because we live out. You know,
oh, man, I like it. They're worth their weight in gold, aren't they?
They are.
Whew, well, they good are. Job. Way to go.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time.
Oh, yes, thanks for calling today, and I'm really rooting for this little 7-year-old boy.
Yeah, mom's doing all that she can do. They're very into being natural and holistic. They pretty much don't have meat in their diet, but they do substitute with the proteins, with the nuts.
Well, see, that actually could be part of the problem, because you can't get rid of inflammation in the gut unless you're getting enough good fat. But saturated fat's the easiest way to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, do they eat plenty of avocados?
I'm not sure. All of their diet.
Okay, all right.
No.
Well, thanks for calling their behalf. That means you're a sweet human being.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
have
you're welcome.
Day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. Feel free to call and ask a question. Going back to eczema just for a brief moment. It's really as simple as what I'm telling you. If you can figure out what the trigger is, and you can make a simple dietary change, it can just magically disappear. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan.
Hello. How are you today? Oh, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Well, I have a quick question going back to the statin drugs and cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's cholesterol is like over 300.
Mm-hmm.
Her doctor keeps wanting to get her on the statin drugs, but she doesn't want to do that. She knows that eventually that will snowball into a lot of problems. So my question for you is, how bad is high cholesterol? Is it really that bad?
All right, I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to let you answer your own question.
Okay.
In 2004, Time magazine told the world that there's just one problem with the cholesterol hypothesis. And I'm quoting, "Sometimes it's dead wrong." I'm pretty sure that's a play on words, don't you think? It says more than half of people who suffer from heart attacks have low cholesterol. And I know you know this because I've mentioned it so many times, but two-thirds of all heart attacks are when people have cholesterol below 180. So just hold that right there. All right.
and high cholesterol, that, and the definition of high cholesterol is going to be somewhere between 300 and 350 milligrams per deciliter. Would you say that's kind of your mother's category?
That sounds about right, yeah.
It says high cholesterol when it's between 300 and 350 is a natural and healthy part of aging. That's just a normal consequence. The
wow.
higher the total blood cholesterol, the longer people live. Anyway, I'm not going into all the research, but I mean, that's been proven over and over again. I don't know if you ever heard me talk about the Berkeley study, have you?
No, I haven't.
And I'm just an oversimplifier because I can remember it real easy that way. But I thought it was interesting. They took a statin drug and they gave the human equivalent to rats. And I think there were 200 rats in the study. And what they did was, over 14 weeks, they gave them a cholesterol-lowering drug every day. Now, get this. This is where the plot kind of thickens. At the end of the 14 weeks, what they decided to do was, I don't know who came up with this, but I just think it's brilliant. The researchers decided to inject rats with toxins that came from bacteria, you know, like strep or staph that would cause boils. Well, the rats that were given cholesterol-lowering drugs, every one of them died when they injected them with bacterial toxins. So they did the study again, but this time, a little bit different. Same thing. Cholesterol-lowering drug, 14 weeks. And what they did was, this time, they took human cholesterol and they injected it into the rats at the same time as they gave the same lethal dose of bacterial toxins. Guess what happened? Every one of the rats lived.
Really?
And, yes, because maybe that's just my interpretation. And I'm telling you straight up, sister, cholesterol is the greatest, biggest honking sponge of toxins in the body. So I think that I'm correct by saying this. I realize every physician that prescribes these is going to say he didn't know what he's talking about, but you can't dispute the science on this. If cholesterol is elevated, maybe it's her body's best effort at trying to keep her in good repair or absorb toxins. Do people actually weaken as they age? I think they do. Unless your name is Moses.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she has, her doctor wants her to get it down to 199, below 200, or she wants her to go on the drug, and she's already told her that she wouldn't do that. So, but she's been eating egg beaters and trying to avoid, I told her to
No, that's just corn oil. You don't want that. You want real eggs.
Okay, that's what I told her, and to try to get the farm fresh eggs. So, I'll tell her to go back to real eggs, and she's worried that that'll bring it up even higher, and she's avoiding cheese and all those fats you were talking about.
All right, here's the core issue right here. The narrative, I started to make an analogy about politics. I won't, because that's going to be too controversial. But just because we hear by the media that things are a certain way, it doesn't make it so, does it?
Right.
And that's all I'm trying to say is they have their narrative, and I guess you would say I have mine. But I really think that I have an open mind. So if there's a cardiologist listening to this program, and he can send me articles and case studies to prove otherwise, then I'm all for it. And what I intend to do is, I intend to examine the information with an open mind. But in the real world, I believe every living human being that walks in the door. And if they tell me they have been destroyed by cholesterol-lowering drugs, I can say, well, How'd you do back in April? Well, I was fine in April. Well, when did you start the cholesterol-lowering drugs? Well, that was May the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when did your fortunes go downhill? Oh, by the end of July, I'm as sick as a dog. I'm weak. I have no energy. My legs ache and hurt all the time. Something's wrong. I stopped taking the drug, and all of a sudden, my strength came back. Anyway, but the narrative is so wrong, and it's so imprecise, it's not even addressing the issues. But have you ever talked to people that they don't really want to talk about the most important issue or the topic? You've never had any family stress, have you? I didn't think
so.
I'll come hang out with you today, and you can teach me how to, that I can translate that to all the other families that I know. But anyway, but have you ever noticed sometimes if somebody causes a problem in the family, they want to turn or change the narrative from what the reality is to something totally different? It's like they're getting off track for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You've had that happen, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this whole narrative that lowering cholesterol equates to better health is going to be the biggest scam, sham, bad science I started to read the article about how all drug companies are responsible for all their own research now. They say, the Food and Drug Administration says, we can trust them to come up with reasonable answers instead of an independent researcher, you know, just looking at it in an unbiased fashion. That doesn't happen. So these people that are producing studies on cholesterol, this is the biggest money-making drug of all time.
Right.
So, did God make a mistake by putting cholesterol in eggs?
Definitely not.
Well, I know, but what we're told is eggs are bad. You need to have egg beaters. Do you think egg beaters, the company that makes those, is going to come out with research showing that egg beaters is totally toxic? No! Are you kidding? There's money to be made. Of course, or am I just a little bit cynical here this morning? Am I just quick to believe when money's involved, people will lie?
No, it's unfortunate, but true.
Anyway, I would say that if your mother's cholesterol is in a 300 range, then this is the attempt by her body to repair itself, or to absorb toxins, or to help improve brain function, or to heal the lining of the arteries, or to make sure she can make enough hormones to repair with. Because, you know, I can do it the other way, too. We can put on our statin drug, and we can completely watch her fortunes change for the worse. Now, yes, I understand. There are some people that have very strong constitutions, and maybe they'll take Lipitor and they'll say, I can't believe this drug can ever cause a problem. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I've never had a problem in my life. Yeah, but you got to admit, not everybody has the same constitution, correct?
Right, that's correct.
I mean, don't you have your own set of strengths?
Oh, definitely.
And weaknesses?
And weaknesses.
Well, I shouldn't have said weaknesses plural. I should have made that singular. Your one weakness is you probably have red hair. Is that right?
I don't.
No. Well, I just knew you had a fiery temper. I'm joking. No. I'm joking.
Well, my husband may say I do, but no.
Oh, no. He's not on the phone. We don't need his opinion right now. No, but...
He's probably listening, actually. Because he called and told me to listen to you, so...
You know, is he on his way to work or something?
He was, yeah.
Oh, did he actually make it to work?
I think he did.
You mean he doesn't call and check in with you the moment he gets there?
Not always.
Yeah, I don't do that either. I just wanted to compare notes. You know what I'll do next week, if you'll let me? Let me pick up this topic, and what I'll do is I'll try to flesh it out a little bit better, and I'll tell you, okay. And what we'll do is we'll compare cholesterol versus natural or dietary changes, and we'll try to find out what the truth is on this, and I'll let you make up your own decisions. So where does your mom live? Does she live close or far away?
She's in Colorado.
Will the radio station signal carry that far? No, she can listen
that
on the internet. Well, you know, she can listen to it on the internet if she wants to.
Yes, she could. She could.
But if she's like my mother, she doesn't have the internet.
No, my mom is very internet savvy.
Oh,
I can't find something, she can, so.
What? I tell you what, let's trick her. You say, Mom, I cannot figure out how to listen to Dr. Morgan on Saturday morning. It's kind of strange and bizarre, but he says he's going to talk about cholesterol next week. Could you listen to the program and tell me what he says? Because I can't pick it up.
Oh, listen, she would be on it voluntarily. She wants as much information as she can, so.
Well, let me, I'm going to write myself a note right now. And if you'll give me just a little bit of liberty, next Saturday morning, Lord willing, I'll pick this up. And what we'll do is we'll go through research and we'll talk about different ways we can approach this. And that way she's going to have more information to make a better informed decision about what she should be doing. Is that okay?
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, you've made my day. Thanks. I'm looking forward to it. You know what? I can tell you right now, I'm going to be thinking about this all week long. I'm going to think, what kind of trouble can I get? I mean, what therapeutic help can I give people?
No, it would be wonderful for her to get as much information as she could.
Oh, good. Well, thanks. So, thank you so much for your phone call. And I'll start off next Saturday morning and tell her to, get up early. And we'll hit it at ground running, okay?
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Health Essentials on KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Long.